please, if you don't mind. You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, if you would, please. Exodus and chapter number 9, I believe it is. And we'll pick up our reading there. And read down through some verses, beginning with verse number 8. And try to bring the thought that the Lord has given us for this evening in this hour, okay? Exodus in chapter number 9, and we're going to put in reading at verse number 8. The Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blame upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. They took the ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with blame upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses." Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of that word. And let's look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the morning hour that You gave us today. What a good time, Lord, I had, and good time in Sunday school as well. Good time tonight listening to the choir practice and sing. Had a good time fellowshipping with Your people, and had a wonderful time in the prayer room. And I pray, Lord, that You'd come in great power. May the Spirit of God move tonight in our midst. Lord, we need You desperately. And I pray that You'd come in great power and work great wonders and miracles amongst Your people. I'd ask You, Lord, to rescue the perishing, those that are lost in sin and without God, that You'd lift them up out of the depths of sin and wash them in Your precious blood. Forgive them all their sin, make them God's child. I do ask You tonight, Lord, for power and unction. I pray You'd help Your people, those that are sick, those that are afflicted, those, Lord, that are facing surgical procedures and other things. We pray for them and ask You to give them grace, those that are traveling. I pray for them as well. Bless us now as only God can. Thank You again for what You've done. And we'll thank You, Lord, for what You further do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to preach for a little while tonight, as God would give me liberty and leave. On the thought of God's call for justice. God's call for justice. And I think by the time I get through the introduction of the message, you'll understand exactly why I'm titled the message that. And we're looking tonight at the plague that God brings upon Egypt concerning the ashes from the furnace. And the plagues with which Egypt was afflicted, begin from this point to assume a new and a more serious character. God has been, I might say, quite serious with the Egyptians and with Pharaoh. But I think when we point out exactly what's taking place in this particular plague of the ashes that turns into boils and blains upon man and beast, We'll understand that God is now beginning to get serious, and things grow more serious as the chapter and as the book moves forward in the deliverance of the nation of Israel. The previous ones had been very grievous because of the annoyance and because of the inconvenience which they had caused. The river turned to blood. Caused great distress upon the nation of Israel. The Bible said that the water in the river stank, and the Egyptians could no longer drink of that water. And it brought great distress upon them. But it only lasted for a short duration. And then the frogs and the lice and the flies, they were humiliating. They were disgusting. And I want to say they were very tormenting to the nation of Egypt. And then the frogs and the lice and the flies, as I mentioned, they were humiliating. They were disgusting and tormenting. And then the destruction of the cattle was a severe blow, both to the people and to the gods of Egypt. The people lost their cattle, and in losing their cattle, they lost their God. Isn't that a terrible thing, a terrible thought to think about, that people honestly will put their faith in a beast and proclaim it to be a god? And when that god dies, when that beast dies, their god is dead. But my Bible declares that when my God died, that He rose again 3 days later. And I'm certainly glad that He did. According to the Scriptures, He was buried. And according to the Scriptures, 3 days later, He arose from the grave. And I'm glad that I'm not worshiping an ox or some cow or a golden calf or some form of a beast or an idol, as they were in the nation of Israel. Now, disturbances or distractions upon the cattle was, like I said, was a severe blow to the people and to their gods. Pharaoh, however, is not moved at all by these visitations. In fact, his heart is hardened. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say to you tonight. God has been dealing with these people, and it really has been showing them to some great degree a lot of mercy. And it seemed like the more mercy that God showed, the harder their heart became. And any time the hearts of people, the heart of a person, begins to harden, they're in serious trouble with God. It's just downhill from that day onward. That's right. We don't want our hearts to be hardened. And by the way, anytime we hear the Word of God, it'll do one of two things. It'll either work on our heart to tenderize it, or it will work on our heart to harden it and to turn us away from God. And unfortunately, Pharaoh's pride would not allow him to yield to the power of God. He looked at himself as a great power, and he was. He looked at himself as one of the great powers upon the earth, and that he was. But one thing that he forgot, he was not just dealing with the God of the earth, but he was dealing with God, the God of heaven and of earth. And that makes a big difference, ladies and gentlemen. Pharaoh's heart grew hardened. And since the degradation of their gods and the death of their cattle does not affect them, the pestilence is now set upon their bodies. Boils and blains. You know, you can put up with a lot of things outside out here. A lot of things that are not really not upon your own personal body. But I'm telling you, when your body begins to be tormented with boils and with blains or with diseases or sicknesses, there are some things that are almost intolerable for man. We were sitting in my office a few moments ago, and Brother Ricky said that he heard about this or saw it or something, that there were people in America that had great diseases, that their bodies were plagued and they were terminal in their life. And what they were doing, they were sending to people, not like Jack Kevorkian, but they were sending to people that sold drugs, administered drugs, sold them drugs that they could administer to themselves, and it would take their own life. And they did that hoping to find relief in their body. But you know, friend, I hate to say this, but oftentimes when people look for relief in their body and try to solve it in that kind of a manner, they only find more pain and torment in their soul. And man is much better off being tormented in body than he is in his soul. I use this so many times, but old Lazarus was laid at that rich man's gate full, F-U-L-L, of sores. But I'm telling you, he fought the battle, stayed right with God, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And if you could ask him tonight, he'd tell you that that which awaited him on the other side far outweighs anything that he ever went through down here below. I'll tell you, the blessings that await us on the crossing of the river are far greater, ladies and gentlemen, than anything that we'll ever have to go through upon this earth. I'll assure you of that. Now, God sends a pestilence upon their bodies, boils and blames. And by the way, there's no warning here from Moses. Moses gently came down and explained to Pharaoh what he was going to do. But this time when Moses comes down, there's absolutely no warning at all. He doesn't tell him what he's going to do. And there's no message to what is about to take place. He doesn't give him any warning. He doesn't give him any message of what is about to occur. Of the priests and the officers, the servants, and even Pharaoh himself. There is not one word spoken. You can read it for yourself. When Moses got there, he never said a word. He just lifted up his hands to heaven, and out went the dust from the furnace. It became, as it fell on man, boils and blains, and it began to burn. It began to sting. It began to itch. And it began to torment their soul. And Moses said no word. He did not give them warning. The priest said nothing. The magician said nothing. The servant said nothing. And not even Moses had one word to say. They could not say one word against God. Somebody say amen right there. As it falls, like as those dust begin to fall, like sparks from the furnace. They burn. They sting. And they blister the body. And everything that it touches, it makes a boil or a blame spring forth on that body. And the priests and the magicians can only sink down under its pain and under its presence. And it's like Paul said in the book of Timothy, I believe, that Jannes and Jambres could not withstand or oppose the man of God any longer. I believe that Jannes and Jambres that Paul speaks about were some of those magicians down in the land of Egypt. But I'm telling you, when those boils and blains began to break out on them, they had their last word to say. They couldn't tolerate the pain. They couldn't tolerate the torment. Hey, it's one thing to be tormented out there in your cattle. It's another thing to have your own body tormented. And they knew right then that they were dealing with a God that had much more power than what they had in their magic tricks that they had to play. And even Pharaoh, although he hardened his heart, had enough sense to realize that he was dealing with a God that had finally brought justice on the nation of Egypt. And there was not one thing that he could do about it. Not one thing. God's call for justice. And God did call for justice. That's right. I want to mention about three or four things and I'll be done. When these boils and blames begin to break out on these people, when Moses takes his hands and spreads that dust from the furnace, the ashes of the furnace, up into the air, it falls back down as small particles of dust upon man. Hey, he got those out of the furnace. May I remind you that the ashes came from the furnace. Have you ever read where it said God delivered his people from what? From the iron furnace. Those ashes came from the furnace, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. But when Moses threw them into the air, and they fell. They turned into dust and they fell down. Now I'm telling you, the fact that they came from the furnace reminded Pharaoh of how he had mistreated the people of God, kept them under hard taskmasters, made their load too heavy for them. Amen. And that's right. And I'm telling you, he realized right quick, Pharaoh realized that he is about to reap what he has sown. Now I'm telling you, man will reap what he sown. That Bible said in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm telling you, Pharaoh had sowed, and now he is reaping exactly what he sowed. And by the way, those boils and blains were on him as well. Not just his people, but they were on him as well. That's right. Now, listen very carefully. If you would please. The bricks had been reduced to dust. And Pharaoh, it reminds Pharaoh that Israel's labor has been diminished to nothing. They had been dealing with bricks, but now all the bricks is dust. And hey, their labor is over, ladies and gentlemen. It's liberation day. May I say to you tonight, I'm going to say this. Praise God for me. You may not like it, but I do. I want to thank God for the day that my bricks in the fiery furnace were diminished to ashes, ladies and gentlemen, and my labor was done. Amen. My labor in the flesh was done. Hey, no more labors under the hard taskmasters. No. But set free from sin and Satan, thank God, and delivered by the power of God. And Pharaoh realized that their labors had been diminished and they were going to be delivered. I think he realized that when that plague fell. And knew it without a shadow of a doubt. Knew it without a shadow of a doubt. That's right. Now, their labors had been diminished to nothing. The bricks that they made are now reduced to dust. They're now reduced to dust. Their labors had ended. What a blessing. Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you forgotten that Moses is the deliverer? Have you forgotten that Moses is the type of Christ? Have you forgotten that Moses is the type of Christ that came down not only into Egypt, but he came down from heaven into this world, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, man, that's right. To deliver you and I out of the sin-cursed world that we're living in. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's right. Labors had ended. That's right. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll do what? I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, Pharaoh's burden wasn't too light. Now, I'm going to tell you, any of you who's been out in the world and spent any time in the world, you know that it's not a light load you carry out there. Boy, it's a heavy load. Amen. I've made so many promises when I was lost. Amen. That's right. If God was to count, hold them all against me, he won't, because he doesn't forgive me of it. But I made my wife and family so many promises, I'm going to tell you, they just got to the point where they'd say, liar, liar, pants is on fire, and those are longer than telephone wire. They knew better. Amen. That's one thing to make a promise. It's another thing to keep it. But I'm telling you, though, that their labors were ended and they were entered into rest. God said, if you will, come unto me. If you will come unto me, amen. Ye that are laboring are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. And buddy, Israel is headed for their rest. They're headed for the promised land. They're headed for Canaan land. They're getting ready to make their track across the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Fighting that crowd all the way. Hunger. They're going without water. Amen. Fighting the enemies. Fighting Balaam. Amen. Fighting the enemies of God. But all the way, they fought all the way. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad. Thank God they had one finger and they were fighting for them. Amen. So God told them when they crossed that Red Sea, he said, I'll fight all your battles for you from this day on. Thank
today than I am, as sure as I'm living. I walked out of the office this morning. Huh? What is? Oh. Hello. Yes, it won't do. Hello. Now you made me lose. Where was that? But I bet I can find something else. Huh? Huh? Yeah, I walked out of the office. Said something about my blood pressure. Somebody, I forget, it might have been blood pressure. I don't know who it was. Somebody said, are you worried about something? I said, no. Said, most of the time your blood pressure gets up real high about that, you're worried about something. I said, no, I ain't worried about nothing. I mean, hey, why should I be worried? I'm going to tell you. When those, hey, there ain't no need to worry. If we found rest. Oh, yes, if we've been brought out of the iron furnace. And, amen, God's taken us through the wilderness wandering and provided water and manna and meat and quail all the way through. Hallelujah to God. They wore shoes for 40 years and didn't even wear out. Thank God. I'm going to say, they wasn't any Kmart's back there, ladies and gentlemen. They couldn't go to Kmart and buy those shoes. Amen. God just made them to last 40 years. You couldn't even tell they'd ever been worn after 40 years. What a God. And He's bringing them out. Amen. Now, not only the bricks reduce the dust, but the very gods that Pharaoh sought for healing had no power to heal themselves. Boy, I could preach a long time right there. I bet he run up to one of them magicians and said, heal me. I've got balls and brains. And he probably said, well, man, I'm in the same boat you're in. I can't do nothing for you. He may have run out to one of them oxen and said, oh, mighty oxen, thou God of Egypt, heal me. And that oxen may have said, well, I got them too. Nothing I can do. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of all these faith healers. That's going to heal everybody, but they ain't got no power to heal themselves, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, I've seen them come and I've seen them go and I've seen them die, and I ain't seen them one of them heal themselves yet. Brother, and I'm going to tell you, I ain't seen them heal nobody else. I've seen them put a little electric shocks under floor mats and shock people. Pull off all kinds of stupid pranks. And I've seen people do things in the flesh to try to make other people think they're spiritual. They're not spiritual. I'm going to tell you what they are. They're full of the devil. You can say men or old me, don't bother me one bit. And I'm telling you, those gods that he looked to for healing could not heal themselves, much less healing Pharaoh. Amen. And then the Egyptians. They have sown to the flesh. To the flesh. They're now reaping corruption. Ain't that the rest of the verse? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Ain't that what 6 and 7 says? Or 7 and 8, whatever it is in there. Ain't that what they say? I believe it is. They had sown to the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, this plague came down on their flesh. They had sown corruption. And buddy, corruption was about ready to get hold of them. And hey, now you hear what I'm getting ready to tell you? It was a boil that would have killed Hezekiah had it not been for Isaiah the prophet. And for Hezekiah's prayer. Amen. It was a boil. I'm telling you, a boil in those days could kill a man. And did kill men. And these people were facing death. They were facing death. Till they cried out for help, and God delivered them one more time. That's right. They sowed to the flesh, and they shall of the flesh reap corruption. I'm going to tell you, that's still the same thing today. People sold to the flesh today, they're going to have the flesh, they're going to reap corruption. This old body will lay down in a grave, and it'll rot. And I'm going to tell you, when it gets up out of the grave, I don't know what kind of a body it'll have, but I believe when it's thrown back into hell, I believe it'll have a rotten body. I believe it'll have the same plagues and same diseases and things that it had when they died. Somebody said, I don't believe that. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Don't make any difference to me.
But that's exactly what I believe, friend.
Amen.
I believe there's a fact tonight. I believe that Pilate is running all over hell tonight, shaking his hands, trying to get the blood off.
Yeah.
It won't come off! No, it ain't never going to come off, Pilate. It ain't never going to come off. I believe that the wife of Herod, that was really not Herod's wife at all, is probably running around all over hell tonight, probably looking at John Baptist's head. What I can't get it out of my hands. I've got the preacher's head. Don't know what to do with it. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we think hell is going to be a fun place. I've got news for you. Hell ain't no fun place. Ain't going to be no fun place. Amen. And when those boils and flames set in on those people, they realized that the days of joy and happiness was over. And if they had been smart, they'd have let Israel go right then, and God may have showed mercy. But I'm telling you, God showed no mercy after that.
Amen.
The days of mercy was over. Over. And I'm going to tell you, God's mercy will run out. Somebody said, oh, never. It's to 1,000 generations. I know that. There's a whole lot of people in those generations.
Amen.
And they've been a generation that's been gone in the past. There's been a whole lot of people in those generations that's already gone, that's died and went to hell.
Amen.
Better believe it. Now, the Egyptians are suffering from the pain and affliction that they placed Israel under. Exactly what they placed Israel under in that iron furnace. You think it was cool down there? It's called a furnace. I've never been around a furnace yet that was too cool. Hot ones. Ask these fellows at work over what's this place of work makes this aluminum or made it?
Alcan.
Ask folks about that. How hot it was. I believe, brother, didn't you work over pretty hot in some places, wasn't it, Brother Herford? Very hot. Oh, you know why? Because they had them kilns that melted that ore. I don't know what it was, aluminum or steel or what, but it melted it. Am I right? Literally melted it. It has to get pretty hot to melt it.
Yes, sir.
And they were, you know what they were doing in those brick kilns? That furnace, they was making bricks and putting them in that furnace. And that heat would make them hard and sound in that furnace, ladies and gentlemen. But God took all their little bricks and just crumbled them up in pieces and threw them on the ground. Said, Moses, go down there and get a handful of the ashes that's left, one little bit's left, and throw it in the air. And said, when it comes down, it's going to be dust. When it falls upon, you know, and it's an amazing thing. Moses was standing right there with Aaron. Don't say a thing about him getting any balls or blames on him. Oh, God makes a difference, folks. You can call me whatever you want to call me, as long as Sister Hawkins called me at the supper table, I could carry lead. But I'm telling you, God makes a difference between His people and the lost world. You better believe He does. Buddy, I'm telling you, I'm glad tonight I'm a child of Almighty God. Amen. Somebody said, are you better than somebody else? Nope! I'm probably worse. I ought to be in hell, but I'm not. Because when Christ called, I answered. Oh, When he called, I answered, thank God. I said yes, amen. And I'm going to tell you, when this crowd called, God said, what about it, Pharaoh? He just bristled up and hardened his heart and would not come to God at all. Now listen to what I'm saying. From dust, listen carefully, God created man. Am I right or not? And when He throws those ashes into the sky, what do they become? Dust. God created man out of dust. Now, I didn't get this out of a book. This is exactly what I told you this morning I was going to write down. I believe that dust represents man. Listen now. With man without God. And man, hey, man without God will destroy himself. Now I'm telling you, that's right. God, what God was showing Pharaoh is that your gods cannot deliver you. And the faith you put in your gods, the only thing that's going to happen to you, Pharaoh, you're destroying yourself. You have, that's right. You've trusted in man
And I'm telling you, man without God will eventually destroy himself. And I'm telling you, Pharaoh without God destroyed himself. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming on all the world. We might as well get ready for it, friend. It's already setting in. We're living in a world that is without God tonight, and man is destroying man all around us. Have you ever seen so many killings? I mean, wars and rumors of wars, and people are dying in wars. And I mean, this guy's got a bomb and that guy ain't got a bomb, and we wish we had the bomb. We're going to pull the trigger on the bomb. I ain't got enough guts to pull the bomb. Well, if I ain't got enough guts to pull the trigger on the bomb, let me help her!
Amen.
What I'm simply saying is, every country, in this world is someday going to come down on that little country of unwalled villages. They're going to say, we're going down to take a parade. But I got news for them. Israel's got somebody fighting for them that this crowd knows nothing about. They know how to push buttons and send out bombs. But I'm going to tell you, God can stand any place He wants to, and with one hand just reach out and catch it. In fact, they can shoot all of them they want, and he can catch them and set up there and play toss with them. He can juggle them. That made a difference to God. If he wanted to, he could swallow them.
Amen.
They're not going to get Israel. Oh no. No. That represents man destroying himself, and he did. Then I want to say also, God is now avenging His people. I'm going to tell you, God will avenge His people. The Bible said in Exodus 3:7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And then He went on and said, and I am come down to deliver them." But Luke said in Luke 18:7-8, He said, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry night and day unto Him, though he be long with them, or tarry long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily." That word "avenge" simply means to take satisfaction in injury by punishing the injuring party, or to vindicate by inflicting pain and evil upon the wrongdoer. And I'm going to tell you, God's call to justice. God called Pharaoh to justice. He said, You have mistreated my people, and now I'm going to vindicate my people. Now I'm going to avenge my people. I'm going to bring punishment and judgment upon you for what you've done to my people. Somebody said, "Now I don't believe God does that." Honey, you better read your Bible. Don't come challenging me with it. I'm telling you, read your Bible. Because I'm here to tell you, God is a just God, and God must judge sin. That's right. And I'll be done here in just a minute. God is not only avenging His people, but He's advocating righteousness. God promised Abraham what He was going to do with His people. And I'm telling you, God is an immutable God. I wrote it down. I'm going to read it for you. That means God's unchangeable. When God told Abraham what He was going to do with them people, God meant it. Now I'm telling you, God wasn't about to break that promise. And He came down to Israel, to Egypt, to get His people and get them out of there. He had already promised Abraham, that land over yonder is where you're going to be. And I'm going to tell you, they couldn't get over there without being captured and captivated down in the land of Egypt. And I want you to listen while I'm getting ready to read what it says about God's immutability over in the book of Hebrews. And I believe it's in chapter number 6. Hebrews in chapter number 6 and verse number 17. "Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of," what is that word, "promise? The immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul,
both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By two immutable things. If you think God can change, somebody said one of our radio preachers made a statement that God could sin. Well, I've got news for you. I'm going to dig on that and straighten it out right now amongst us. I'm just telling you, if he had a sin nature, then he didn't have the power and the ability to redeem us. But he was made in the likeness of sinful man. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Amen. Not a time Jesus could have ever sinned. That's right. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, way back there, today and forever, and that means he's sinless. Amen. If he could sin, he wouldn't have been God's spotless lamb. But he was a spotless lamb. And he died without sin for you and I. How on heaven's names, if he sinned, could our sins be nailed to his cross? Impossibility. Oh no. God's bringing justice to Pharaoh. And I'm going to tell you what he promised Abraham way back yonder. He ain't changing his mind about it. Now I want to say this. If you don't get a hold of nothing else I've said to you tonight, in your mind, I don't want you to raise your hand, but in your mind tonight, I want you to say to yourself, how many of you in here can really say, I've been to Calvary. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you, if you've been to Calvary and God has saved you, you've been saved by an immutable God who changes not. I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now I'm telling you that if you're truly saved tonight, God ain't about to change that. Well, he can't change it. He's immutable. Amen. He changes not. He's always been God. Always shall be God. And I'm telling you, when he came down and those plagues changed from the outward, from the things that was owned by the Egyptians to the Egyptians' person themselves, things began to change. They just got worse and worse. The plague began to get Pharaoh's attention more and more. But you know something? I believe he had done crossed the deadline. Done gone too far to ever turn back. I fear there's people all over American churches that have gone too far to ever turn back. They've heard the gospel over and over and over again. They know deep down in their heart that they're just as lost can be. And they've tried to put on an act and put on a show. They've tried to make people believe that they're in when they're not in. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, church members don't go to heaven. Religious people don't go to heaven. Saved people! Save people, and only save people, go to heaven. Nobody else. And I'm going to tell you, God is a just God, and God is an immutable God, and as sure as he saved you, you're bound for the promised land. He's not going to change his mind. Somebody said, what if God changes his mind about saving me? What if he gets mad at me? Don't you know that God knew what you were before he ever saved you? I've heard people say, now you don't have to agree with me on this. But I've heard people say, oh, I've disappointed God so many times. I don't think so. You know why I don't think so? God is omniscient, ladies and gentlemen. God knew you would do what you did to think you disappointed him before you ever did it. Amen. So how can something that he knows disappoint him? If I go up here and buy an old junky car, and drive it about 400 miles, and the rod goes through the side, and the oil sprays all over everything, and I step out and shut the door and look at it and say, boy,
I sure am disappointed in that car. Well, I might be. But what if I bought that car and that man up there said, now, Mr. Hall, you can buy this car, but I'm telling you right now, about 400 miles all it's got left, hole's going through the side of it, it's going to use oil, and it ain't got a chance of getting over 400 miles. And I drive down the road, and sure enough, 400 miles, rod goes through the side of it, lose all the oil out of it, the engine's burned up, and it's gone. I step out and say, boy, I'm disappointed in that. How can you be disappointed in something you already know about? I'll tell you what I can do. I can look at it and say, I was a fool. And I can't say I was disappointed. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think God's disappointed in His people. God just keeps on working and laboring with His people to make us what He wants us to be. And when we come to one of them little spots in the road where there's a knot or a wart, He just puts us back on the wheel and begins to shape and make and mold us all over again. And one of these days, He's going to turn out a vessel that is meet for the Master's use. And in the Father's house, there are many vessels. And they're not all the same. And I don't think we're all going to be the same in the Father's house. Many different vessels. Somebody said, preacher, what makes you think that? Well, turn around and look at somebody sitting beside of you and see if you see anybody that looks exactly like you do. We don't. And I don't think we will in heaven either. Somebody said, well, I know my family in heaven. I'd hate to think that I know less when I'm perfect than I do now when I'm imperfect. Sure, we'll know them. I had somebody ask me the other day, would we eat in heaven? Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a tough one. Jesus ate while He was here on the earth. Honeycomb. He ate bread and fish. But I don't know about up yonder. I don't know whether we're going to have to be eating up there. I know we're going to eat something because we're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb. I know we're going to eat there. But from then on, I don't know what it'll be. I hope we're eating up there. Because man's got to eat. I mean, praise God. Amen. Wouldn't it be something, boys, throw your hook out in the river of life and God say, 14-foot long bass, grab a hold of it. And then throw another hook out and the Lord say, 4-inch bass, grab a hold of it. And Brother Greg say, I got to be it, boy. I got to be it. I'm going to tell you, God called for justice on Pharaoh. And on the Egyptians. The day of their justice had come. And their bodies. And all they could do was look. And beg God to have mercy on them. Let's stand together tonight.